we worship your word. Father, we thank you and honor your word tonight. We glorify you. We thank you. You are high and lifted up. You are high and lifted up.
Yes, Lord.
You are high and lifted up. You have set our feet upon a rock. We thank you, Lord. We will not be moved. We will not be shaken.
Thank
we thank you, Lord, by the things in this life. We worship and honor you. Hallelujah. Say, well, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just stuck there. And so we'll move on when we can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We worship you. Oh, we worship you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
You are good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are good.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Oh, thank you, God. He has such a longing to be involved in your life. Such a longing to help you, if you'll let him. I thank you, Lord. We purpose to let you do all that you want in our lives. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. He wants to be acknowledged and received and accepted and asked in. And he may tell you to do things that are uncomfortable, things you don't want to do but are necessary in your marriage, in cosa masta sapreshi sobanda shabre mestgo shoprehi katandanda os dabrehi manti si preha shul brandange messenger matia sura subrad oj le istogo shambre. He will help. Impresi. Oh, he longs to help. But he never helps outside the word. And there are parts of the word that are easier to do and parts that are harder to do. But the help of the Holy Ghost will help you to do those things that your mind says are hard. But with him, it is easy. We've had the wrong impressions about some things. The way out is to brandande aj to brosea kashi ombresha asimbranda osoje is to see it how he sees it. Amproshere se si poco shambra te as de bande. Unco sopre si branda sus prandia saranda gaste. Yes, imbrande he's helping. Oh, si bradanganda dea hosta she. Let's just pray for a second in the Holy Ghost, okay? Esi prodogosoros prande asea. Esi brobos bratia so cache se ha 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 ha. Imbra dangando soros presi prade. Azo zo 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 si pratasta se. Avery, sobashia prande asokosho preti kasanda mange mozda mreti ost. Now, you're never stuck. You are never stuck. To think you're stuck is a victim mentality, and you're never stuck. Ant ost est apesha protosa karanda gestoro shombre, yeah. Now, certain situations in life, certain people, things that have gone on may have put you in a hard place, but it doesn't have to be hard for you. The Bible says he always makes a way of escape. Always makes a way of escape. Ambroshe prisat os kesto shotonde, and it doesn't necessarily mean leave that situation, but leave the hardship of the situation in your thoughts. It's the way we think about things that makes it hard. Yosoro shoro soro shoro soro shoro dras dres dros dres esia asat 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 is in the moment. In a moment. Is to brochura sashe sere he, 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 a sombra da saki shande, and dos ibrisarahasht, and distago soro shobra dande, insto, and it all changes in a moment with revelation. So begin to pray Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 more and more and more and more and more. Thank you, Father. And we'll see things like we never did before. So sharea kande. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the light. Thank you. We'll see things like we never saw it before. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Thank you. You know, I have been praying the Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 prayers more and more and more. And I was laying in bed not that long ago. And, I was sound asleep. It was the middle of the night. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up out of a sound sleep with a word of knowledge that an angel was standing there beside my bed. And it's very important when an angel is there that you respond right. And so I said, I'm here to receive whatever you have for me. And I had this come up in my heart. I didn't hear words out loud, and I didn't hear him say anything or the Lord say something out loud, but this, that he's here to strengthen you. Remember in the Bible, an angel came and strengthened Jesus. And he said, I'm here to strengthen you. And I didn't feel any different in my body. But he meant in my spirit. He's strengthening my spirit. And then shortly after this, I had revelation that that was part of an answer to the prayer I prayed in Ephesians 1 and 3. Because remember in chapters 1 and 3, it says, you'll be strengthened with all might. Right? In your inner man. And I'd been praying that for myself and my family. And an angel came to answer it. And when I prayed that prayer, I wasn't asking for an angel to answer it. And I wasn't thinking that that's how it would be answered. I was just praying what he said to pray, which was his promise. And then that's how he brought it. It wasn't something I decided. And so, do I have makeup on my face? Okay, because my son's trying to give me a tissue. Help me do it. Help me figure it out.
I don't know this stuff.
Okay, Anna will help me. Just so people aren't staring at it the rest of the service, not that I care. Is it better?
Yeah.
girl problems. I don't personally care. It doesn't bother me a bit. But when I see people staring at me, they won't hear anything I say because they'll be looking at the mascara on my face. Is it gone? Okay. And so he finds ways to strengthen you for the things that you need to do, for the assignments that you have, for the pressures that come against you, for the things that you face. And it may still be an angel and you just didn't know it was there or didn't know how it happened. But when we stand upon the word, he comes and he answers those things, okay? But tonight, I just had upon my heart to encourage everyone. And how many of you know there are some dark things in the world? But that doesn't have to affect us because we're believers and we have the word and we have the promises. And so no matter how dark it gets out there, there's glory in us and in the church, right? And he wants to do some things for us. Luke 1:45 says this, and this is talking about Mary when she was, remember when the Holy Ghost had come upon her and she was told, you know, she would carry the Savior of the world, and she goes to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, and it says in Luke 1:45, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her of the Lord. And so what are the things that are told you of the Lord? And it doesn't have to just be she, it's also the guys here, but he's going to perform things in your life, but not just because you hope he does, because you believe he does. And how do you get to a place of believing? You continue to thank him for it. You continue to worship him for it. You continue to bring the promise before him. Are you believing for something in your health, something in your kids, something in your family, something in your finances, something for your local church? What is it you're believing for? Keep those promises before you. Continue to pray over them, to say them out loud, to thank the Lord for them, to meditate in them. I sing them many times. Sing the word. You know, just all that you can do to continue to bring those promises before him and before you. And you will get to a place that one day you'll go, I actually believe it now. It isn't just words I read on a paper and it matches up to my need. I didn't just match a promise to a need. I actually came to a place of believing. But it's okay if at the beginning you don't believe. If you're just saying it and it's not really in your heart. If you stay with it, you will believe it. And then once you believe it, he performs it. But the Bible says, he that believeth shall not make haste, right? You know, don't pressure yourself that I got to hurry up and confess it 100 times and say it every morning and say it every night. And if you pressure yourself like that, it's harder to believe, right? Ask me how I know. Because sometimes I've done that. You know, you almost become like a robot. It's kind of like if you tell yourself that you're going to pray for a certain person for a certain amount of time and you just commit, it's going to be every single day. Every single day, I'm going to pray for this person for 15 minutes or a half an hour. That's fine and dandy for about 3 days, and then next thing you know, you don't. And then what happens? You condemn yourself. And so don't put things on you he didn't put on you. Just keep that word before you and around you and in you and out of you and, you know, over you and singing it and worshiping him for it and saying it and just keep it before you. And before you know it, you'll believe and then he'll perform, right? And why don't we open here in John 7? The first thing that the Lord would like us to know is this. There's water in the desert. There's water in the desert. And what is a desert? A place that looks dry, right? Like, you know, you feel like your spiritual life is dry, your word time is dry, your prayer time is dry, you know, conversations are dull. Like, is there more to life than this? You know, the mundane, same thing over and over and over again, you know. There's trials and tribulations, you know. There's water in the desert. And what does that look like for us? If you go to John, which you probably did, and I didn't, John 7, 37 and 38. 7, 37, and 38. It says this, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.' So it comes into him one way, but then the Bible said, rivers come out. So it goes out to many different things. And so at all times, but in a season where it seems hard and, you know, things aren't changing, things aren't moving, things are at a stalemate, it'd be good to drink of him, right? And so when we drink of him, what does that look like? It could look like worshiping him. It could look like praising him. It could look like praying in tongues. It could look like all kinds of things. The point is to receive from him. And that changes things. And look at Matthew 5:45. Matthew 5:45. It says that he may be the children of your that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. What does the rain look like? Everything that he has that's good that you need, right? And actually, 5:45 is a prayer. And did you know all scriptures can be a prayer? I mean, you don't want to pray certain ones like, you know, Deuteronomy, all the curses. You don't want to pray all that. but Matthew 5:45 is a promise. And you can say, Lord, I thank you. You reign in my life. Rain down in my life, in my family. What does that look like? Peace in your family, joy in your family, you know, in your marriage. What does that look like? In your finances, what does that look like? We need more. We need to take in more of him. And then why don't we go over here? I'm just going to read you this. Just write this down, okay? Joel 2:23, it says this. He will cause to come down for you the rain. He will cause to come down for you the rain. Right? And that's what we need in our life is more of him. Now, I want to go to Jeremiah 17. So go over to Jeremiah 17. And what does this look like? What does this look like for us? Be encouraged that it may seem like a dry place. It may seem like things have not changed. It may seem like things are not changing. It may seem like there's been trouble in this area for 6 months, a year, 2 years. But I'm here to tell you, he can change these things if we'll just believe, if we'll take in more of him. Because what happens a lot of times throughout the day is we're taking in more of the problem. We're thinking about it more. We're talking about it more. And you know, we're leaning more on other people, you know, and will they help change it? You know, will they help affect it? And I'm going to read Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 to you in the NLT. It says this, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water." That's what we need, right? Roots that reach deep into the water. I had, at my old house, a long time ago, I had this plant called Pachysandra. I don't know if you've ever had it. I think the roots reach down to hell, pretty much. I mean, it's impossible to get out. And it's like this plant cover, and it's low-lying. And a lot of times, if you see landscaping, and you'll see, like, a circle around a tree, and it's like this low-lying plant, it's probably Pachysandra. I have a personal dislike for Pachysandra. We had a ton of it at our house, and I needed to get rid of it. And I mean, it will strip your hands of its skin if you try and pull it out because the roots are so strong. And then you go out the next morning, and everything you pulled up grew right back. And it's very difficult to get rid of. So in the end, I had to have a landscape company come and help me because it was really difficult for me to do on my own. And so it said here that we would have roots that reach deep into the water, that we're so ingrained in him. We're so ingrained in his word. When difficulties and trials and troubles come to try and uproot us, it can't. We're so busy drinking of him. We're so busy looking to his word. We're so busy worshiping him and praising him and singing his promises. We cannot be uprooted. And nothing gets answered outside peace. You know, did you ever have a hose outside and you were doing some gardening, or maybe, you know, your kids had a sprinkler ball, or when you were little, you know, we didn't even have money for a sprinkler ball. We just shot each other with the hose, you know. And of course, you always get shot in the eye, you know. And but then, you know, you're trying to spray each other, but someone goes and takes the hose and kinks it. And then what happens? The water just becomes a drizzle. No more water coming out. And when we worry and we panic and we get frustrated, when we get frustrated, and this is a big one, angry. When we get angry and frustrated, let me tell you, even with your kids, it's not okay to get frustrated and angry with your kids. It's called walking out of love. And so God doesn't ever deal with you out of anger and frustration. He deals with us out of grace and mercy and love. Now, he may say things sternly to you and correct your course, but he does it in a way of mercy and love. It's never out of anger and spite and berating and lecturing and you better and all of that. That's sin. God doesn't work that way. And so a kink in the hose or in the power is lack of rest, not being in peace, frustration, anger, hate, bitterness, can be bitterness. You know, you get bitter at life or get bitter at your circumstance, get bitter at a person, something. People get bitter a lot of times at things that don't change. Can I tell you something? It would be better if you changed. Because if you change, then it will change. And what needs changed? Our thinking about it. And once our thinking is changed, then it works like magic. All of a sudden, something that we were frustrated with, we were angry about, we thought wrong about, that wasn't changing, changes. Right? So the thing that kinks the power, that kinks the water, the flow from God to you, is lack of peace. We don't have to forfeit answers, but we will if we're in the wrong state of mind, if our heart is wrong about things. Have you ever thought to yourself, I just wish they'd see it. If they just see it. And yet, God's probably thinking the same thing about us in that situation. If you just see it. Stop handling that person like that. You know, there's a better way. Have you ever got stuck in a cycle with someone where they did this and you did that, and then you did this and they did that, and then again they did this and you did that, and you're like, years sometimes of a frustrating relationship because we won't change. And if you're in that cycle, someone's going to have to break it. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Pray for yourself if you need to. Right? Because the way those cycles are broken is that somebody does something different. But if you say, well, he keeps acting in anger, and so I keep doing this, and then I keep doing this, and it frustrates him, he acts in anger, and whatever, it gets to be a cycle. Or maybe it's with your parent or your child or your boss or whoever. Someone's going to have to change. And the Bible says that he always makes a way of escape, but it's not always how you think the way of escape is. The way of escape many times is you think and act different. You know, 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 1 says, likewise, you wives. Oh, wait, hey, we do have the NLT? What happened? Ah. I've been wanting the NLT for years. You worked a little. Thank you. This is the first time we've had it, right? Yes. Okay, 1 Peter 3:1. In the same way you wives must accept the authority of your husband, then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. Have you ever had lots of words in your mind that, I'm just going to tell them this, 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 and this, and you probably did. But the Bible says, without the words. Because your words don't help. That's why he says, leave them out. They will be won over. Go to the next verse. By observing your pure and reverent lives. Go to the King James of that, please. They behold your chaste conversation, the way that you act. The way that we act affects other people. But we want our words to say to affect other, the words that we say to affect other people. But that's not what the Bible says. That's why it says his thoughts and ways are higher than ours. Because our thought is, I'm going to tell him and then it'll change. That's your way. That's your thought. But his thought and his way is you do the Bible and then things change. You be gracious and kind and loving and, dear Lord, merciful. Be merciful. And you're not perfect either. And you think you're putting up with him, but he's putting up with you too. You're right. Your shortcomings? Don't you want God to be merciful about your shortcomings? We all have them. And parents, be merciful to your kids about their shortcomings. Don't keep bringing theirs up. Don't keep bringing up their shortcomings. It doesn't help them. And, there's Reverend Patsy was telling a story about a woman in her church who was part of her prayer group and came to the prayer group. And after a while, she said, Reverend Patsy, I don't think I should come to the prayer group anymore because I'm smoking pot and I just can't stop smoking pot. And she said, just keep coming. Just keep coming. And she said, that'll just go. That'll just leave. And so the woman kept coming to the prayer group and then she fell away. And she was smoking pot, and she, you know, felt bad about it and everything. She fell away and went off into that life a little bit. And one day she was watching TV. And she's looking at the TV, and there was something on the TV about something happening to kids, to children. And it moved her in her heart. And she had a prayer burden for these kids, the things that were happening to these kids. And she fell down and just, you know, started praying out of her heart and, you know, fulfilled that prayer burden. And when she got up, she was totally free. And she never went back to it again. Now, see, Reverend Patsy could have said, you're right, you can't come here as long as you're doing that. Until you get rid of that, you gotta go. No, she didn't. She said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that shortcoming. It'll just go. And instead of beating people over the head about what they're doing wrong, why don't we just think, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal for you. Just stay around the things of God. Stay around the Word. Stay around people loving the Lord. And guess what? It'll just go. Whatever it is, anger issues, addictions, all kind of things. You know what? We're not permissive towards sin, but also you can't beat people over the head. Did Jesus come into the world to condemn the world? No, he didn't. The Bible says actually the opposite. He didn't come here to condemn us. He came because he loved us. And so someone's dealing with things that they shouldn't do. Everybody does in different measures. And listen, what's sin to you or you know, might not be to me, or what is to me might not be to you. And you know, the further you go in your walk with the Lord, some things become less permissible. So you think, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, maybe that's not sin to them because they just got born again. But it's sin to you because you've been saved 20 years and living with God. And you can't do that anymore. You know, as your kids get older, you expect them to act like they're older, right? And the same thing with the Lord. But he's not beating anybody over the head. You better do this. You better be that. You better. He doesn't work like that. And wives and husbands shouldn't work like that to each other. And parents to kids shouldn't work like that to each other. You know, you messed up. That's just temporary. That's just temporary. It's not good you did. Let's get on your knees. Let's repent together. And let's move on. And so, don't you love the heart of that? It's okay. Just keep coming to prayer. Why? Because if you tell them don't, they're going to go off into the world and then there's no hope. Keep them around God. Keep them around the things of God. Keep them around the anointing. There's hope in that. And God doesn't work like that with people that you better, you should, you need to. No. Matthew 11:30 says, he is not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. You better do it this way. You better not do this. You better. That's not him. So that's not us. To yourself or to other people. You know, if you ever really, one way we pray is we just simply have a real conversation with the Lord, right? And one day I went to him and I asked him about what he liked and what he didn't like. And very kindly and sweetly, he said he didn't like me beating myself. You ever beat yourself up about things? Anything. Maybe it's something in your personality. You know, maybe it's the way you treated somebody, whatever, something you did in the past. And he was saying that very kindly. He doesn't want you to beat yourself, and he doesn't want you to do that to other people either. He always tries to lift us up. He's always trying to bring us up higher, right? So let's do that as wives. Bring our husbands up. Believe the best of them. Encourage them. It doesn't change till you change, right? And the husband is the head of the home, but the woman guides the home. And your attitude, Dr. Dufresne used to say it's like the thermostat, you know, for the wife in the home. You're the thermostat. If things are hot, you must be hot. If things are cold, you must be cold. What's the goal? Keep it comfortable. What does that mean? Peaceful, sweet, easily to be entreated, meek, mild, gentle, loving. That's right in the middle, right? All right, here, back to Jeremiah 17:7-8 in the NLT, because we have it now. So we left off in this, with roots that reach down deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat. Oh, very interesting. You're not to be bothered by the heat. Things get turned up sometimes, don't they? In life, people doing things against you, you know, financial pressures, things in your marriage, the heat gets turned up, right? Thoughts against your pastor, you know, all kind of things. Temptation to leave the church, that's the heat getting turned up. And here it says, we are trees that are not bothered by the heat. Now, those things might come, but it doesn't have to affect us. We're independent of it, right? It doesn't mean you don't feel it. It just means it doesn't change you, okay? So we're not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. What does that look like? Could be drought in your marriage, drought in your business, drought in your finances, drought in your prayer life, just drought. Things look dry. It looks like it's always been this way, it's always going to be this way. And the Bible says we're not worried about that. Our leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Amen. They never stop producing fruit. And that's what we look like. We're like that. no matter what happens out here in the world, no matter what changes out here in the world, no matter what people do to you or around you, we're always green, flourishing in peace, producing fruit, right? Now go to Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. Can we read this in the NLT? Be encouraged. There's water in the desert. What does that look like? Things on the surface look dry. There's nothing growing there. When you think of a desert, you don't think of like a lush flower bed with all kinds of different flowers blooming. No, it seems like there's nothing happening here. And there's nothing gonna happen here. But that's just what it looks like. Listen to what God can do in that kind of environment. Even the wilderness in the desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. The King James says blossom as a rose. There will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. What do the flowers represent? Fruit. You can have all kinds of peace and joy and rejoicing and all kinds of wonderful things in your life right in the midst of all hell breaking loose. Right in the midst of things that just don't feel good or seem good, right? There will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as the Mount Carmel or the plains of Sharon. The Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. So what looks like it's dry now, it's going to blossom like a rose. And how does that happen? When we get more of him into our lives. When we worship him, we thank him, we praise him, we pray the word, we stand upon the word, we meditate in the word, we wake up with the word, we go to bed with the word. Have you ever read this scripture over here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22? It says, when you go, it shall lead you, the word. When you sleep, it shall keep you. And when you wake, it shall talk to you. And I say that for myself. And the more you say that and believe it, the more it happens for you. That when you wake up, instead of waking up to that bombardment, you can wake up to him telling you something you need for that day. So the Bible says, the desert will be green as the mountains. There will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. And that happens because we get more of him into our lives. We do that through worship, through praise, through it, you know, all throughout your day, even if you're driving or, you know, you only have 5 or 10 minutes, as you're going somewhere, just pray in tongues in the car. Just worship him. Have a verse and sing it out loud. Do something just to fellowship with him and keep him at the forefront of every situation and circumstance. And so I want to share this with you. Now, you can read this account on your own because there are some other things I want to get to and we need to close shortly. But read Ezekiel 37. This is your homework, 1 through 14. And in this section, if you've ever read it, God instructed the prophet Ezekiel to speak to a valley full of dry bones. And this is signifying a message of restoration, of new life, and of life in a situation where it seems it's hopeless. Dead bones in a valley seems hopeless. And yet he said, if you'll prophesy to these bones, it'll come together bone to bone, and it'll have life again. And he told Ezekiel, speak to those dry bones, and they'll live again. And that was a message for us in this time. Things that look dry, things that look dead, things that look like it's never going to live again, that the season for this is past. It is not happening. It is dead. If it looks like that, you prophesy to it. And I'm not talking about we're making everybody a prophet. What does it mean? It just means you take the word and you speak to it. You speak to that dead marriage. You speak to those finances. You speak to your body. You speak to a relationship that looks dead. You speak over your kids. And then the Bible says he brings it together bone to bone. And then it talks about how he builds upon the bone with the flesh. And then he brings life into it with the breath and all those things. He brings is a progression. And so if you don't see it come to pass all at once, many things in God are progressive. He'll bring it together one little piece at a time, right? And rejoice over the small beginning. Okay, so next, believe to see the glory of God. John 11:40 says, if you'll believe, you will see the glory of God. What does the glory of God mean? It means divine strength, divine peace, supernatural health, all the wonderful things that God that are in God. So go to Romans 8:18 in the Amplified Classic. Romans 8:18. Aren't you thankful for the word? It's the truth that sets us free, right? What we need more of, remember that old song? Love, sweet love, that's what we need more of. It's, yeah. But what we need, what the world needs now. Yes, thank you, Donna. It's an old song. But anyway, but what we need more of is the light. We need more light, so we have to have more word. So go to Romans chapter 8, verse 18 in the Amplified Classic. Do we have that? Thank you, Kenzie. And it says, but what of it? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time and this present life are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us, in us, for us, and conferred on us. And I've been saying this all throughout the day, the last few weeks. You know what? Because as soon as a situation comes up to your mind that, you know, you better do something about this. This isn't changing. Look how bad this is. It's going from bad to worse. You know, all these things. And that pressure comes against your mind. It doesn't matter. The glory is about to be revealed in us, to us, for us, and on us. And then 10 minutes later, the devil comes like a with a bazooka gun, thoughts against your head again about how it's not working out, how things are going from bad to worse, you know, how it's always going to be like this, it's never going to change. And then he points to all the things that try to tell you it's not going to change. And then I remind him, I don't believe any of that. What I believe is Romans 8:18, that the glory is about to be revealed in us, to us, for us, and on us. And 5 minutes later, all those thoughts come again, how it's not working out, how it's going from bad to worse, how it feels, what your mind thinks, how your body thinks. And I remind him, the glory is about to be revealed, because the Bible says that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. I believed you. But how do you get to the point of believing? You talk about it. You think about it. You meditate on it. You pray it. You worship God for it. You sing it. I can't tell you how many times I've said this verse, worship God for this verse, prayed this verse, sang this verse. Because when things come up that look like it's the opposite of glory, I remind the devil what's really going to happen, which is Romans 8:18. Everything God has is going to happen in that situation. And you can do it too. Now go to Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. It says, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Well, we're seeing that, aren't we? I mean, there's some really dark things happening in the world, but it doesn't affect us. Because what do? There is gross darkness in people. Oh, good night. I was talking to someone recently, and they said to me, they want another child. They have a child now. They want another child, and they're looking to adopt. And I said, well, can't you go to the adoption agency? And they said, well, you used to. But our adoption agency now, where we live, they don't like to give babies to people like me. And she and her husband have been married for quite some time. He has a really good job. They have a nice home. They've adopted other children. And she said, they don't give babies to people like me anymore. They're looking to place all these babies in homosexual homes now. Friends, that's gross darkness on people. And I don't mean that as an insult. It's just a very ungodly lifestyle. And when the world would rather give a child to a homosexual couple than a married couple who's a strong, stable home, it's gross darkness. Gross darkness to people, well, we're seeing that. Ha ha. But there is an answer. The Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Amen. There should be something different about us. That when people are like, why are you happy? Why do you have hope? Your situation does not look good. Hey, the glory of God risen upon us. And then lastly, I want to share with you Haggai 2, verses 6 through 9. Can you bring that up, please? Haggai 2, verses 6 through 9. The glory of the Lord. Do you believe to see it in your life, in your thought life, in your body, in your marriage, in your work? Yeah. Haggai 2, verses 6 through 9. Do you know, the love of God believes the best, right? You don't just believe the best about other people, believe the best about yourself. You know, the enemy has told some people for so long, and they believe it, that people don't really want you, you know, you're not good at this, you know, condemn you. And it's not true. And your body can be affected by those kinds of thoughts, right? Over time. Because the Bible says, now there is no condemnation. So when we continue to live in that line of thinking, it's outside the word. And it's curse-like thinking, and then God can't bless it. And so being hard on yourself like that can begin to affect your own life. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace. You know, peace is part of the glory. You know, the Bible says that we should have peace and joy in believing, right? And so if you're not having peace and joy in believing, then you're probably not believing. And what you need to stop and do is get back into peace and joy. And how do you do that? Standing on the promise. Believing the promise. Worshiping the promise. Okay. So we believe to see his glory. And let's go lastly to this other thing here. Romans 10:9. You think, well, that's a funny verse. Isn't that what we prayed when we got saved, was Romans 10:9? But it is this. Make him your Lord. And you say, well, I'm a believer. Of course he's my Lord. No, if you're a believer, it means he's your Savior. It's another thing to make him your Lord. There's all kinds of lords in this world. Do you know, I love this scripture in Revelations. And it says, on his robe and on his thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's written right on him. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And other things make really poor lords. You know, jobs make poor lords, that you're always doing something that's demanded, you know, that it runs your life, anything that runs your life. Fear can run your life. Panic can run your life. All kinds of things. Strife, anger can run your life. Actually, even things concerning your body, it could be sickness, but it also could be an overemphasis on things concerning health. That can run your life too, and it can be your Lord. So who or what do you answer to? But Romans 10:9, and we'll close with this. It says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He's not just your Savior, he's your Lord. And the Lord means you do what he says, you worship him, you bow down to what he wants. He takes up your time. He's the master of your thoughts. He determines what you do, and he has priority. Is he the priority in your life? Or is there something over him that lords it over you, right? That you just always give into that thing, and you always do that other thing instead of obeying him. Like, you know you should do this, but you don't. You just keep going back to that. And you know, the Bible says that Jesus is the sanctifier. If you're having trouble with something and making him Lord, you know what I say every single day? When I wake up, I say, you're the Lord of my life. You are the Lord of my body. You are the Lord of my home. You are the Lord of my thoughts. You are the Lord of my family. You are the Lord of Family Church Jamestown and Family Church Erie. The things that I have authority and dominion over, I name him as Lord. And because what? It's not just the enemy that tries to come in and be the Lord. It's other things in our life. Other things try to be your Lord. But if you establish who it is that's Lord from the beginning of the day, it sets things in a different tone, right? It reminds you and reminds him, you're not Lord here. No, that's not Lord here. You know, old ways of behaving and thinking about things, that's not lording over me anymore. Depression, it can be a Lord to people. You know, people who are depressed and they just won't go places or do things with people. They're always shut in. They're just, you know, depression is running their life. It's their Lord. They don't mean it to be, but it is, right? So let's close here in prayer. We'll see if the Lord had anything else that he wants to share with us or do. But he wants to encourage us tonight. He has a glory he wants manifested in your life, in your thoughts, in your body, in your marriage, in your everything. In your everything. He wants to be Lord of every area of your life, but he wants to manifest his glory in every area of your life. But we have to acknowledge him, invite him in, and believe him.